I was thinking the program is very faith-based. Are there people who come from other faiths and they say, that's fine, you want to talk about your faith, we talk about ours at home, but I really need your service. Does that happen?
Children from all faiths are welcomed at the Little Lighthouse. We have families from all different faiths. Our staff members are all Christians. They are all devoted followers of Christ. Our board members are as well, but our children come from all different walks of life and all different faiths.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about Missy now, today. Here we are, 2024. We're in November. How old is she now, and what is she doing?
She is 52, and she actually graduated from Oklahoma Baptist University, and then she was a music major, and for years, she traveled the country doing contemporary Christian gospel concerts and sharing her testimony. One particular story I might share with you. When she was 16, she was really struggling because all the kids were getting driver's license, and she was really hurting badly. And so one night, I was already in bed. She came in, crawled up on my bed, tears streaming down her face. She said, "Mom, I need to know why." I said, "Why what, honey? Why? Why was I born like this? Why was I born with this visual problem? I need to know why." Because she couldn't get her driver's license. And I thought, where is my husband when I need him? First. And then I prayed. And then I answered her this way. I said, "Darling, you can ask that question for the rest of your life. And you will probably never get a satisfactory answer because theologians have been debating that question for centuries. But if you will choose instead to change that question from why to how God can use your circumstances for good, he will show you great and mighty things. But you must ask him how." And in her testimony, in her concerts, she would share that that night she went running back to God and found his arms open. And she began to ask him how he could use her circumstances for good. And he began to reveal to her that already he had used her circumstances for good by starting the Little Lighthouse and all the thousands of children who have been served because of her, but also that he could use her circumstances for good if she would share her testimony. So that's when she began doing concerts. She was just 16 at the time, but she started doing little concerts then.
Had she been singing as a child?
She had been taking voice, yes.
But as a child, did you notice it, 5, 6 years old?
She took gymnastics initially.
Okay, but how do you start singing?
Which scared me, and she fell on the balance beam, and we started taking voice instead of gymnastics. And so she had been taking voice for years. And, of course, then went on to Oklahoma Baptist University and majored in voice and music. Graduated with a degree to be able to teach. But for several years, she did travel. She traveled, flew all by herself. I once said, "How in the world do you find your seat?" You know, that because I knew she couldn't see those tiny numbers. And she said, "I just start visiting with somebody while I'm waiting and find out what seat they're in. I follow them on the plane, watch where they sit, and I can figure it out from there."
So she can see?
She can see. She doesn't see as well as you or I. But at the age of 32, she called. She was living in her own apartment. And she called and said, "Mom, Dad, I have found a doctor at Johns Hopkins Hospital that is getting legally blind people driving, and I'm going there. I'm going with or without you, but I'd like for you to go with me." Well, when they're 32 and they've made up their mind, you kind of have to go along with it. And so I went with her, and long story short, he was able to fit her. This doctor was passionate that legally blind people should be able to drive if they could see the white lines of the road, if they could memorize the shapes of signs, you know, stop sign is a different color and a different shape than other signs. And if they could memorize those, they should be able to drive. He fitted her with state-of-the-art contact lenses and state-of-the-art glasses that had to be ground there. They couldn't even be ground in Oklahoma. And she came back and was able to get her driver's license. And so she's been driving since she was 32. She has never caused an accident in 20 years. And then years ago, it's about 12 years ago, she was working on her master's in counseling at Oral Roberts University. And one of her professors there suggested to her that she enter the Tyson Foods Gold Medal Mom Contest by entering an essay about her mom. And she didn't really pay attention to what the prize was or anything. She just thought, this would make a nice Mother's Day gift for my mom. And so I'll write something. Pretty good writer. So she wrote something, and we got notice that there were thousands of entries across the United States that we were in the finals for it. And Missy began to panic because the prize was 2 round-trip tickets to the Beijing Olympics. And turns out she won. Oh. So she calls her dad, said, "Dad, you and Mom are going to Beijing." He said, "No, we're not. You're going to Beijing." Well, she was one who always said, "Look, I know you all like to go to the Philippines and China, all these different places, Russia. That's fine for you, but I'm called to the United States of America, where there's always hot water and electricity. So you all go, I'm staying here." And her dad says, "No, you're going to China." So we went to Beijing together. We were working with a center there. It was one of the many that I was mentioning that we had started working with, called New Day Center, a wonderful organization started by 2 Americans who left everything and went there and started a wonderful organization that takes children, Chinese children, orphans, who have operable conditions that if they get the surgery, they can be adopted. If without it, they cannot. And, or likely not. I had worked with them, had a relationship. I said, "We've got to go visit." And so we went there, and they had, oh my goodness, I can't remember how many little tots. And Missy just lost her heart. And when we came back, she said, "I want to be a mommy, and I want to adopt one of those." So we began to look into it, called Dylan. Dylan was a wonderful organization.
Jerry Dylan?
Dylan, Adoption Agency, mm-hmm. Yeah. We called Dylan, and Dylan said, "We're sorry, they're closed. They will not allow single-parent adoptions. Missy's never married. Mr. Wright just had never come along." And so Missy said, "Well, we got to pray either God to raise up Mr. Wright or for him to change the Chinese laws." Now, wouldn't you think it would be easier to raise up Mr. Wright than to change the Chinese laws? But that's not what happened. He changed the Chinese laws over the next 2 years. 2 years later, a representative that I was working with, he had interns at the Lighthouse. He actually lives in China. And anyway, he was visiting, overseeing these Chinese interns. And he came into my office to visit with me about some things. And when he was leaving, he said, "By the way," he said, "was it your daughter that was looking into single-parent adoption, but they were closed?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "They've reopened. They're open to single-parent adoptions." I called Missy. She started that day, and 9 months later, we were on our way to China to get Kaylee. She had to have sponsors. She had to have somebody for a backup plan if something were to happen to her. We're her backup plan. And so we all went to China to get our sweet Kaylee. And then a couple of years later, about a year and a half later, Missy said, "I really think she needs a sibling because we were going to spoil her rotten." And so they began to look through. There's actually something called rainbowkids.com, and you can decide, you can say if you don't feel that you would be adequate to serve a child that's like 24/7 care or visually impaired or CP. Well, anyway, Missy said she could take a visually impaired child. Anyway, Kaylee had said she wanted a baby sister. She said, you want a baby sister or you want a playmate sister, like an older sister, like your age? She said, I want a baby. Well, Missy would go through these. She said, what do you think, Kaylee? You think this one? No, that's not my sister. No. What about this one? No, no, that's not my sister. And this went on for months. And one day Dylan called and said, we've got this kiddo. Her file's been locked, but it's just come unlocked. You want to take a look? I sent it to her. Missy opened it up. Said, Kaylee, this child was like, I said, Kaylee was 2, and this child was right at 2. And, no, 3. They were 3. And so same age, almost. And she said, what about this one? And Kaylee looked at it and went, oh, that's her. That's my sister. And I miss her. Well, where that came from, I don't know. But anyway, that was our Mia. They're 8 months apart. And we then, with Kaylee, went over to get Mia. And we're so thankful to have them.
Neither one of those were special needs, though, were they?
Kaylee had microtia of the left ear, meaning it's just a little tiny piece of an ear, and it's closed. So there's no hearing from that ear. And she also had cornea leukoma. When she was found in a warehouse district, a policeman had found her in a box. And they thought she was totally blind. Her eyes were swollen shut. The IE, which is what they call their nannies, that took care of her at the orphanage, prayed over her and nursed her eyes back to health. So she wears glasses, but she can see, and she's a dancer. Anyway, Mia actually had spina bifida. And I thought, oh my goodness, where, you know, she's going to need the lighthouse, but our waiting list was forever long, and I thought she'll never make it in because I have to put her at the end. So I had talked to our therapist before we went, and I said, I'm going to probably be in touch with you. I said, I don't know what to expect. You know, she's spina bifida. So we got her. She was like Pillsbury Doughboy. She was just, there was no muscle tone at all. When we put her down, she walked with a shuffle. This child can't walk. And they had told us not to change their clothes until that night, when you change into their pajamas, because that makes them feel insecure. You kind of want to, because nothing matches. And so, anyway, Missy put her pajamas on, took her shoes off, and Mia walked across the room like you or I would. Mm. And I was like, what? What is going on? She had shoes on that were 2 sizes too big.
Oh, my.
And she'd been trying to keep them on all day long. So those are our 2 sweet grands, and we just adore them.
Well, you just showed me a picture of them, and they're beautiful. Yeah. So both of them were a special need.
Actually, technically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you would never know it today.
No. Well, you've written your book, which I read, and which is the reason I was able to lead you on this, Milestones and Miracles. I'd highly recommend it. You'll probably start reading it and can't quit. And then you have another, God's Work, God's Ways. You're a gifted writer and a speaker. You are called upon to speak, I know. And you have alluded to a third book now that you're working on.
Divine Connections.
Right. You know, I was just thinking, that pediatrician who told you you're going to have to build it yourself.
Yeah.
He actually did you a favor.
Yes.
Because if he'd said, oh, yeah, it's already built.
Yeah.
It's right over here. You'd have never had this journey.
No.
At all. None of it. So while it was
God
hard.
God used him.
He did you a favor.
Yes, he did.
Right.
He did indeed.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing your story with us. And to Phil, I know he's in the house here somewhere that he can hear, because he was ever there with every step of the way for this story and what the little lighthouse means to our community and the thousands of children who have been affected. To finish this, I know there are many who have gone on to live good lives. Any unusual lives that developed because of the little lighthouse?
I think probably the one that comes most quickly to mind right now, Peter and Belden in Kenya, because they have made such an impact on so many children. And as we have gone over there to provide training, they have opened up other opportunities for countries that are bordering Kenya to come in. We have heard time and again the impact that it's had on the paradigm. Probably my favorite story of all that represents the paradigm shift in third world countries. I was present for, and I'm so glad that I was, we were in China. A hospital there had asked us to come, and we had taken a team of therapists and teachers. They were very clear they did not want us to talk about our faith, but we were there to teach, and there were caregivers, doctors, nurses, parents. There were hundreds there at this. So we had done about a full day of sessions. And the next day we had done like the morning sessions, and we decided that afternoon to allow people to come to the microphone and just talk about maybe what they had learned or any impressions they had had. And this one sweet little Chinese lady had very broken English, but had a little bit of English, came to the microphone, and she said this: "Where I come from, we have always seen these children as trouble. But since you have come and you have been teaching us, we now see these children as flowers with potential to blossom. So we thank you for that." And that's our dream, that we can help our world to see these children are flowers with the potential to blossom. And I have seen time and time again these children transform the lives of families. I don't think I have ever met a sibling that I didn't have tremendous respect and admiration for. These children mold their siblings into precious and devoted, unselfish, amazing human beings. I've never seen an exception to it. There may be, but I've never seen an exception to it. And I've been exposed for 50 years now. The parents are transformed. And these families will tell you they would not trade, no matter how, even 24/7, no matter how much they have to pour, no matter how many days and nights they have to spend in hospitals, et cetera, they are transformed, and they would not trade a minute with these precious children. So there's a book written years ago that actually transformed my life because it's so connected with me because of the loss of my little sister, but it's called Angel Unaware. And Dale Evans Rogers wrote this book and tells a story of how their little girl, what Dale believes their little girl might have told our Heavenly Father shortly after she joined him in heaven, and talks about her earthly mission. And I believe God uses these children if families will open their hearts, and if our world will just open our hearts to hear these children have such valuable lessons to teach us.
Yeah. Many who listen to this now will be taught, and we hope that we can hear others, have others say, I didn't even know that was available in our town. Thank you. Thank you for telling the story for Voices of Oklahoma.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Thank you.